Today, I want to talk about something that is completely inevitable in this life. And since Jesus may come back before we die, not even death is inevitable. So what I want to talk about today is something that cannot be avoided. There is no way out of it. There's no way around it. You can't slow it. You can't stop it. And you can't reverse it. And if you try to do any of those things, you'll just spend a lot of money and be still unsuccessful. So, what I want to talk about is growing older. Basically, it's inevitable. And I want to talk about it because it's become apparent to me recently that there's a huge divide between the way that the world looks at getting older and the way that we can as Christians. So, It's a simple fact of life, and it's not some kind of punishment like the way that the world looks at it sometimes. It's just the way it is. That's the way God made it. It's just like the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. It's just the way God made it. In fact, our very first song here in our songbook is A Beautiful Life, and it talks about looking at life's advance, comparing it to a setting sun. And so, what I'd like to do is just take a look at how the world has it wrong for a little bit, and then how we can get it right by focusing on the right things as we live and get older so that we grow older and we don't just get older. Make use of our time. So, the first point that I want to bring up is that it's okay to get older. It's not very profound, and it's pretty obvious, but I want to start off with that, because you wouldn't know this by listening to the worldly views on getting older. The things that you see in advertising and the things that you hear would tell you that there's something wrong with getting older, or that there's something that you should be afraid of, like it's something ominous that should be something that kind of scares you a little bit. All those advertisements try to capitalize on the way that you look at getting older, particularly the way that adults look at getting older. Let's just take a moment to think about how it was when you were a kid. If you can possibly remember when you were, let's just say you're 9 years old today, and tomorrow is your birthday. So tomorrow you're 10. What that means for today is that you have waited 364 days for your birthday, which is tomorrow, which you've told your parents about, and they're probably tired of hearing about it by now. So they know your birthday's tomorrow, you know your birthday's tomorrow, and it's very exciting. Tomorrow comes, now you're 10 years old, but as a matter of fact, you're not even 10 years old anymore, because only 365 more days until your next birthday. So we're already thinking about being 11. And the kid that just had the 10th birthday is no longer in existence, because now you're not 10 anymore. If someone asks you, how old are you? And you say, 10, going on 11. Right? So you're not even just 10 anymore. You're so excited to get older. You're never old enough as a child. You can't wait to get older. At some point that changes, and you start to look at it a little bit differently. And that's where you find yourself having some of those feelings that you might have now that are a little bit opposite of what you used to feel. So the world tells you there is something scary about it, or that you'll just get less effective as you get older. You'll get weaker. Or you're not yourself anymore. Or here's one. If you're not thinking and have the energy of, or acting like you're in your 20s, then there's a problem. So, let's start off with 1 Corinthians 13:11. That's where I'd like to begin today. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways." And if we go over to Proverbs 22, in verse 15, It says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. And then back just a couple chapters, Proverbs 20, verse 29, it says, the glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. So first of all, if you're not in your mid-20s anymore, you probably shouldn't be acting like you're in your mid-20s still. You should be growing. You should be maturing. And you know that you look at things differently as an adult than you did as a child. And that's the way it's supposed to be. I want to focus on this last verse here on Proverbs 20, 29. It says, the glory of young men is their strength. Now, looking at the first part of that verse, I don't know if any of you have ever had the opportunity to hear one of these types of conversations from young men, and how it usually goes is you would have no idea that it were possible to talk so long about the subject, the single subject of protein. Different types of protein, what they do, when to take them, how much, what kind of result you're trying to achieve with your exercising and health and wellness. It has to do a lot with building muscle and physique and whatnot. It's absolutely incredible how much time you can devote to that subject. It actually seems kind of silly. Now that's young men. And then we look at the second half of the verse and it says, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. It's the splendor of old men is their gray hair. Now, according to the world, you don't hear a lot about praising the gray hair of old men. Like, the closest that I think they get to it is in those Just for Men commercials. If you've ever seen those, the touch of gray. So it's okay to have some, but not too much. You want to be somewhere in the middle so that you're old enough to have wisdom, but young enough to still have energy and whatever. Okay, so that's the closest the world comes to giving praise to gray hair. But it says right here in the Bible that it's the glory, or the splendor of old men. So, you might hear that you can't have fun when you get older, and, you know, bills and stuff like that kind of make life seem a little bit less fun, but it doesn't mean it's not worth living, and it doesn't mean that things don't get better as you get older, in some ways. And there's a lot of books out there on youth. The thing is why is there so much hype about being young? I mean, after all, it's here. And when you have it, you have it. And when you don't, it's gone. There's no way you can get it back. You can still be healthy, but you can't get your youthfulness back. Your actual real youth. And people who are actually young are not writing books about being young. They're too busy being young. You'll notice a lot of people writing books about being young, and they're not. You see, people are chasing after youthfulness so much, and it's so desired, and it's so highly praised. I guess we have to remember that part of it is because this is coming from the world, and it's a way to make a dollar based on your insecurities as a human being. It might be different for each of us. You know, I might worry about I may not be able to lift as much when I'm older, or have as much capability of running as far or whatever. Or if you're a woman, you might worry about crow's feet or something else like that, and that's your big issue. Okay, so basically it's a way to make a buck. It's a human insecurity. And that's why you can always get people to spend money on this idea that you can regain something that actually cannot be regained. Be healthy, but you can't be young again. Now, I really could have just skipped this entire section because we all know that it's okay to get old. But I just wanted to take a look at how the world seems to miss the mark a little bit and how there's more to it than just hitting it as hard as you can when you're young, and then just fading away. All right? It's inevitable. And we know this. So in order to make our time count here, we have to make our lives count, because again, we want to grow older. We don't just want to get older. Let's go over to the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 4, and Ecclesiastes 4:13, and it says, better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice.
And then if we go over to Proverbs,
spending a lot of time there today,
Proverbs chapter 5, starting in verse 11, it says, "And at the end of your life you groan, when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, 'How I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers, or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation.'"
Now this particular passage is talking about the long-term aftermath of adultery. It's a very bad thing. But this can also apply to any spiritual area where you have left yourself sorely unprepared and you find yourself that way at the end of your life. That happens if you get older and you don't grow older by putting the right things in your life. So I like to keep things simple. I work in threes. I remember better that way. So hopefully this helps somebody. I want to take three major areas and take a look at them and focus on those things because I think that they're very important to keep ourselves oriented and living right. Okay, so the first thing is pretty obvious. Anybody could have guessed it, but it's God's Word. This is where we get our knowledge. This is where we really get our wisdom. And so we'll start in Proverbs 7, starting in verse 1, and it says, "My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, 'You are my sister,' and call insight your intimate friend." You see, we need God's Word. The scripture reading from this morning was similar. It was about being attentive to the words. And it's addressed to my son. We're trying to instill these good habits at a young age so that we grow older. And so that when we are at the later points in our life, we can say, "Wow, I really feel closer to God than I was back then." Instead of saying, you know, "This is mostly gathered dust over the years, and I wish I would have read it more." Back a chapter in Proverbs 6, starting in verse 20, it says, "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life." At the very end, you know, it talks about the way of life. The reproofs of discipline are the way of life. Reading God's Word should be our way of life. It should be something every day. It's not just a Sunday or a Wednesday thing. It's 7 days a week. Every day we need this. Because sometimes that might be the only thing that saves you by a hair, is maybe something that you read that morning that prevents you from going into sin. You never know. That's why we need this every single day. And I won't read all of this here, but in the next verse in Proverbs 6, still in Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19, it tells us about seven things that are an abomination to God. One of which is a lying tongue. How often do we hear lies out there? People telling lies. And you've heard, we mentioned this before, white lies. Or I was trying to do the right thing, but I had to lie to do it, sort of thing. And we know that's worldly thinking. So if we want to be able to avoid the things that God hates as we get older and grow in His knowledge, we have to be in this every day. We want to know what He wants. We want to know what He doesn't want. Because if you're not using this as your moral standard, you're going to develop your own. And the trouble with that is that people develop their own moral standards based on feelings, based on whatever's going on today, how close it is to the weekend, how far it is from the weekend, whatever. These things change on whims. And so we can't rely on our own standards to carry us through as we get older. In fact, over in a few chapters later in Proverbs 16, in verse 25, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." So on our own, we are lost. and we will not end up with God. That's why we need God's word.
And then Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. It says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ."
So here it is right here. Human traditions can sweep us away if we're not grounded in God's truth. And the trouble is that the older that you get, the more established you become in your beliefs. And if those beliefs are wrong, they're only going to serve to your detriment more and more as you do get older.
So God's word is obvious enough. We need it. But I wanted to focus on the fact that we need this every single day.
This should be something that, I mean, think of it this way. You've probably never woken up and said to your family, "All right, kids, today I'm just not going to eat. I'm just going to skip eating today. Not going to make any meals, not going to eat. We're just going to do whatever we would normally do except for eating." Because I've done some research and I found that you can actually go for a lot of days without eating. You can go for over a month without eating and still live, as a matter of fact. Just going to skip it today. You would never skip a day of eating if you didn't have to by dire necessity. And most of us would never even skip a single meal if we didn't have to. So why, and if that's just a physical need of ours that we won't die from in a single day, why would we skip out on this? This is something we need every day. So just think of that.
And now the next thing in our list of three things here is love one another.
Again, this is pretty obvious stuff. Matter of fact, we've been diving pretty deep into this in our class on Wednesday, because it's talked about in 1 John. The reason that I put this as something to focus on is because of how it's described in Matthew 22. In Matthew 22, starting in verse 36, we've got people that are talking to Jesus, and they're really just trying to test him and see what he knows. And someone's asking Jesus a question, and in verse 36 it says, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So if you love one another, if we're loving one another, if we're loving God and we're loving one another, we are hitting a bunch of things that we are supposed to do as Christians. Because rather than look at God's word as we grow older, it's like, this is a list of, instead of looking at it as there's so many things in here, look at all these pages, there's so many things I'm supposed to do and I'm not supposed to do. But instead of looking at it like a laundry list of things, the idea that we should approach it with is loving one another, because when we start with that, we succeed in so many of the things that we're supposed to do as Christians. Over in 1 John, it talks about it a little bit more. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." So we just talked about reading the Word of God every day. That's how we know of God. This right here, in 1 John 4, 7, starts to transition into an application of putting it into your life, because now we're not just talking about knowing of God, but at the end of the verse it says, knows God. So when we love one another, we don't just know of God. Now we move into knowing God. That's a transition that we need to make. And so sometimes you hear the phrase, love one another. People that never go to church think that you should love one another. So you hear it all over the place, and it's confusing sometimes. It's really vague almost. It's like, well, how do I love one another? What am I supposed to do? There's a lot of different things you could do. I found one really simple way that Hebrews 13:16 talks about. Hebrews 13:16 says, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Pretty simple stuff. Just helping people out, doing good. And that's one of those ways that we can love one another. So it's pretty simple stuff, really. It's not always easy, but it's simple.
And the last thing in our list of three is be prepared.
We need to be prepared because one way or another we're going to see God eventually. Whether it's today or sometime down the road, we're going to see God, and so we have to be prepared for this. So, over in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And just in the next chapter, Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." So, you're setting an example out there, whether you're aware of it or not. And this is why we need to make the best use of time. This is how we prepare to see our God as we go through our life. We make the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious. We watch what we're saying. People will hear you. And they will draw a conclusion on something that maybe you said carelessly in a moment of weakness. It's all on display. Still in Colossians, in chapter 3, starting in verse 23, it says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality." So we have to remember that we are serving Christ. This is how we prepare to meet him, with the idea that throughout our lives as we grow older, we're serving him. In whatever way we can, whatever gifts he's given us. Now in Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 12, we have another example of how we can prepare and grow as we get older. Starting in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 3, it says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." So, every day we exhort one another. It's not just a Sunday or Wednesday thing. It's not even like if you work a job 5 days out of the week and you work 5 days and you got 2 days off. It's not even like that. This is an everyday thing. 7 days a week Christian. And we're always on the clock. And we don't retire from being Christians. It's continual. And we're looking forward to being in heaven. So to review our 3 points, God's Word, every day, 7 days a week. Love one another, do it, and you'll succeed in so many ways that we're supposed to and called to as Christians. And be prepared. I want to be joyful to see Jesus. I don't want to hang my head in shame. I want to just be so excited when I finally get to see him with my own eyes that I don't even know what I'm going to do. But I don't want to have a moment of doubt when I see him, finally. So, just read in Hebrews how it said, if you hear his voice. So if you want to grow older and not just get older, if you want to grow older in Christ, and if you haven't begun your journey yet, if you haven't been baptized yet, then in just a moment, you want to come forward. And if you already are baptized, and maybe you've fallen away, and you need prayers on your behalf, if that's you, then make your way forward as well as we stand and sing.